Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As always, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565.
Hey, Barty's got a great collectible story that I just told her she had to share because I can't tell it that well.
I do. Okay. It's not my collection. It's my brother's collection. My brother's about 5 years older than I am, and this is probably in the early 90s. He collected starting lineups, the figures, and he had tons of them, and he would have them all lined up, and I don't remember why this happened, but I got mad at him one time, so I went up to his room. I looked at his starting lineups, and I said, which one would hurt the most? So I picked one of them up, and I bit off its arm. And it was Cal Ripken.
It couldn't have been Billy Ripken.
He never had a starting lineup.
No.
The bottom of his bat, the knob of his bat, did it have a bad word on his starting lineup player, too, like the baseball card?
I don't think so. You know, my mom taught Billy Ripken, actually.
I don't know if after seeing that baseball card, you might not want to have her tell that story again.
Well, she tried her best.
So you bit off the arm of Cal Ripken.
I did. I think I felt bad about it, but I was really mad, so.
You don't sound like you have any remorse today.
Yeah, no. I hope that Josh is listening right now, because if you are, I'm sorry, but I was mad. But he had so many. That was his.
You could tell this is a brotherly thing, because did you hear that? I'm sorry, but.
But.
I'm sorry, Josh, but.
Right. Well, you know, when you have an older
brother.
Well,
what did he do to make you so mad?
Oh, I don't know, but, you know.
Oh, but we remember the arm.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he's an older brother. There's a million things he could have done.
Now my question is, was Cal in a batting position or a fielding position? Because this makes a difference in the value.
He was in a fielding position, I believe, because his arm must have been outstretched, which is what I,
So I'm guessing this is the 96 one.
I would think it would be the 96 edition, which, you know, we've all looked up on eBay every now and then.
Yeah, it's $14 right now on eBay that you owe your brother.
See, Josh, not that bad.
$14.95. Buy it now. Wow.
Maybe I should.
If it's the 93 version, it's going to cost you $16 right now.
We'll stick with the 96.
Sarah, this is your chance to make amends.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like this show of healing is now healed.
Feel the love.
Wow, yeah, I really got that out. I feel much better. So,
Kevin, what is your frustration? Other than when you look in the mirror.
Oh, my frustration's on the other side of the microphone.
Oh, that's the wrong thing to say with Sarah sitting right there. Oh,
yeah,
come
that's
on.
Who I was referring to.
Wow.
All right, get to the Lenape Solar Hotline. Yogi's hanging out from Sealands Grove, wants to ask you a question.
Yogi. Great to have you with us. I would go to it, except Kevin, you have the screen filled up with weather, eBay, and so forth. So that's why I couldn't see Yogi was there, since you took my screen out.
Okay.
Hi, Yogi.
Well,
go ahead.
You're scaring me right now, because you're talking about the issues with students and athletes, but you're saying UNC and NC State are two different schools. Which one are you talking about?
North Carolina.
Which is UNC.
Yes.
Not NC State.
No, it was the North Carolina State Board of something or other.
Well, NC State is not UNC.
I know it's not.
No,
which
he's saying
one
it's,
is it?
No, he's saying it's the North Carolina State, like in the government.
the government, like the Pennsylvania,
okay.
When I said the North Carolina State, whatever department it was, was that's actually the state government in the capital of Raleigh.
Because you were scaring me a little bit there, because a good friend of mine is on full scholarship for wrestling at NC State, and my grandson is going to go down 2 weeks from now for a visit at UNC for the same thing.
Right.
So that's kind of bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, Chapel Hill is where the problem is on the campus of the University of North Carolina. It turned out that one of the officials investigating internally for them is a former North Carolina State, blah, 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 you know.
Okay.
I'm talking like Department of, you know.
Education or whatever.
Right,
yeah. Okay, then
I can see why you'd be confused by that, by the title of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's not an issue at the moment, but it could be later on.
Right.
You know, so we'll
as of, yeah, right. So as of right now, the key is the investigation at the University of North Carolina. The NCAA says it looks like it's an institutional internal issue.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that before about the place, but, you know, rumors are rumors, you know. You never know what's going on until you find the facts out. So, at least I know that you're not talking about NC State now. You're talking about UNC.
No, we're not. We're not talking about NC State. It's Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
You bet.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Yogi. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Great to have you with us here on the Friday edition of the show. And yeah, we'll keep tabs on that to see what happens. As of right now, from the NCAA's point of view, nothing's happening. But we'll find out as the investigation continues. The NCAA is a big problem right now. Huge problem.
They don't seem to see it, though.
Well, they're the NCAA. But they have a huge problem right now. After what they did with Penn State in a legal issue, something like, and again, I don't want to see people improperly punished at the University of North Carolina at all. I would rather see the individuals that either set it up, put it together, or participate in it. Like, you know, I'd like to see them be in trouble, but not the institution as a whole. Can't just label an entire institution. Just can't do that. And the NCAA over the years, and again, I thought when it came to the Ohio State thing, yeah, they did put them on, they knocked them out of a bowl game this year. So that's the only part of it that where everybody, quote, was penalized in this entire process. Thus, they can't play in the Big Ten championship game, but they'll still get their bowl money from the Big Ten. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Again, I would rather see individuals, specific, and have them be suspended, fined, or whatever it happens to be. I never have liked, the total program, well, you know, when everybody's gone. I mean, as much as people may have incredible disdain for Lane Kiffin, why should he have to pick up Pete Carroll's mess? And, of course, Bill O'Brien in this case. But I've always felt that way regardless. I have never been in favor of entire programs getting probation, where all these players have to endure and pay the penalty for somebody else's sins. I've never been in favor of that. And I thought, for example, in the case of, take Jim Calhoun, 3-game suspension with UConn, 3 Big East games. Or improprieties there. Okay. The SEC suspended Bruce Pearl for 8 games. The NCAA did nothing about that. They suspended him for eight games. And I thought at least that was the way to go, where you're targeting the specific person involved in the alleged impropriety. I mean, why should Tennessee basketball get slapped around because Bruce Pearl broke rules? And he'll be back, by the way. Somebody will hire him. But I think I've always felt Coach A gets into trouble based on extended trouble, loses job, and is suspended, can't coach anywhere within the NCAA. You can pick a time frame, 5, 10, 15 years. Athlete involved can no longer participate. And if that athlete wants a job connected to a program within the NCAA, not allowed to do so for 15 years, whatever, something, pick a number, based on how egregious the offenses happen to be. I think you go after the specific people involved in it and leave the institutions themselves alone. There's enough embarrassment and stain that they have to overcome to begin with without having additional sanctions placed on them. Just a thought. It's easier to take away bowl money. It's easier to take away bowl games and things like that. I understand there's an easy part to it. But then again, isn't that their job in Indianapolis? Don't they have all the time in the world to do these things? They actually have a unit that does it.
No, they're busy investigating things.
They didn't investigate anything here.
Oh, sorry.
Our number 1-800-795-9565. Kevin and I play the Edison next Tuesday. Should be a great
play the Edison. Should. We're gonna be in the Catskills this weekend.
Hey, Barty. Where's Barty? Is Barty gonna be there Tuesday night?
Hold on, I think she's on the phone. Hold on.
She's on the phone.
Are you there on Tuesday night? Yeah, she's gonna be there on Tuesday night.
Yeah, she'll be there. So, okay, now we're gonna now it'll be some fun.
Wow.
Oh, you'll be going around the room trying to trade pins with people.
Only if they have one they don't have already.
And getting confused looks. You want to do what? Huh? What?
I'm used to confused looks. That's not anything new.
2 weeks from tonight is your football opener.
That is correct. On the road to the Silver Bowl in Mount Carmel.
That should be a lot of fun. New coach, new offense, new a lot of things. Should be a lot of fun.
Had a chance to chat with Coach Todd Tilford of the Braves last night. Said things are looking really good. And it's like I said earlier, it's a lot easier in this first week of camp now that a lot of the players are spending the summer, you know, lifting and conditioning, and sure, you don't have as much to get through.
Hey, 2 weeks from tonight, can you believe that? Man, it can't happen fast enough. You know, some people say that spring is the rebirth time. Well, in Pennsylvania, rebirth is football. Dave in Sunbury, thanks for joining us at 800-795-9565. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve. Well, now that you said that Barty's going to be there, is that a bull refresher tour?
Well, I mean, I'm actually going to show up now. I had my doubts until about 5 minutes ago.
I was going to say the Boulder Fisher Tour. Had to run circles around the one that's on out of Fox News.
Yes. Yeah, well, what, O'Reilly and Miller, the Bowl Fresh Tour? Sure. Right.
Now that she's going to be there, that'll be his Boulder Fisher Tour.
That's right. Well, we'll have a good time now. We'll have a good time talking with some very important people that and we'll give them a complete insight, by the way, as to what's happening in camp. It'll be a great night. I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, I'm going to join Kevin actually in the studio in Sunbury for a Tuesday show for the first time ever.
I'm so honored.
I've had a specific request of which room I want to be in and exactly how many Purolator guards.
No.
That way Kevin can't get in.
And then, of course, a bottle of Perrier on the side there for you.
Oh, you're all over the Perrier thing, because that's what Jack Camp brings
that's
me.
Jack drink.
Jack, what does he drink? Jack loves Grey Goose.
Grey Goose, so okay.
But you can't bring that into the broadcast booth.
No, that's it's not like it hasn't been an attempt in years gone by, but no, you can't. But he will bring me either Perrier or a can of Pamplemousse.
What in the world is that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What's that?
It's, you know, I don't know where he finds this stuff. Don't look at me. I didn't request it. This
was
is not
it,
one of those.
Pittsburgh or something?
I think so. It's some sort of. Wow, I'm trying to think. It's more like a grapefruit drink.
Where does he stop on the turnpike on the way in?
I don't know. But he'll give me either. You saw it. You were there the day they had Perrier. He had Perrier.
Perrier,
right?
Yeah.
Right. And I always take, we put it down. And ever since we started doing this was in 2005. So they won a lot of games. In fact, Penn State is the only instance since the beginning of the 2005 season. Penn State is the only school in the country to win more than 75% of its games and graduate 75% of its players.
Not according to NCAA.
I know that. I know. I know what they said, but I deal in reality, Dave.
Well, why don't they just deal in reality about North Carolina?
I don't know. I think they want to see how it plays out first. And look, the NCAA deserves the right to sit back, wait, and see how it turns out and how deeply athletics is involved. I don't think they need to get in there at this particular moment. I think let the North Carolina do its own internal investigation first, and then the NCAA can make some decisions. I'll at least be fair about that. But when you have athletes involved who allegedly were getting thrown into this class, who are allegedly getting grades for a class that didn't really exist, and of course that counts toward their academic record, that does raise an eyebrow, and the NCAA should keep an eye on it.
Well, all I thought was, I'll be truthfully honest, I'm like with Kevin Herr when it comes to that. We want to just hold off a little bit on far as letting his trials go through with the other two guys. What would have hurt?
Well, that's what I've been saying since day one. I mean, we should have all the holes filled in first and then render judgment. That didn't happen in this case. And starting January 7th, Tim Curley and Gary Schultz will go on trial. And maybe beginning January 7th, the director Louis Free, who started his press conference by saying he couldn't interview Tim Curley, he couldn't interview Gary Schultz, and, of course, Joe Paterno's circumstances kept him from being interviewed. He prefaced his entire report by saying that beginning on January 7th, maybe some of the holes that do exist within that report that he freely admits to are things that maybe will start to be filled in. But we'll find out.
Well, I'm a little worried if I was the North Carolina Board of Trustees because of if they do the same way Penn State Board of Trustees did, they'll wind up sticking themselves under a bus themselves.
Well, we'll see how they handle it, Dave.
Talk to you later.
All right. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy-efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable, and we do all of the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you up front for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury has all your summer partying needs. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And did I mention they have beer? Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their River Fest of Savings. Choose from over 200 pre-owned vehicles at one location, and they all come with Sunbury Motors' lowest price promise. Sunbury Motors researches the market and makes sure their prices are the lowest of any like vehicle from a franchise dealer within a 50-mile radius. Pick from 15 pre-owned Escapes starting at $12,943. Choose from 13 Ford Focuses as low as $96.21. Sunbury Motors has one of the largest selections of used trucks in Central PA. Browse through over 30 F-150s, including a King Ranch 4x4 crew cab for only $13,563. SMC has 25 pre-owned Hyundais with Accents, Elantras, Sonatas, and Santa Fes in stock for immediate delivery. Sunbury Motors has every vehicle clearly marked with our lowest price promise. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors during River Festive Savings. SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915.
Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. Privilege for me to be here every single day. Love the show, love the job. You know, everybody has a home base in broadcasting, and mine happens to be WKOK. Enjoy talking with you every single day, hearing your thoughts, your comments, answering questions, and so forth. We can, you know, hopefully along the way, we give you a little insight that we hope you won't find anywhere else. And, for example, in the first half hour, somebody wanted to know the full rundown of the scrimmage and did that for them. And there's another one coming up tomorrow, by the way. We'll see how that plays out. So that's what I've been talking about. Kevin's been talking about trading pins.
Actually, there's a really cool event this weekend that I want to take a second to promote, and that's Sunbury River Festival.
It's Sunbury River Fest, yes, please.
Yep. It's this weekend. Tonight, Jesse performs, always a big concert, in the new Riverfront Park area and in the new amphitheater that just got opened up yesterday. So that's very exciting for Sunbury and the entire region. Stop by sometime this weekend, enjoy the festivities, check out the new digs there, and most importantly, look for the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation tent. You'll be able to pick up your Penn State football schedule poster there too.
And as you mentioned earlier on our Facebook page, and Kevin made mention of Andrea's post on the Steve Jones Show status, Andrea wrote, "I'm sitting in my collection, PSU football computer room, top to bottom, side to side, and I will never stop collecting." Very nice. It's been a fun week. Had a lot of great guests on, from Zach Berman, Philly Inquirer, to Jeff Lowe on the London Olympics, Murray Chass, and more. News is next with Sarah Bartlett, who destroyed Cal Ripken years ago.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon.
Thanks, almost took me back to Wednesday. Don't do that. I want the weekend to be here.
Yeah, we'll be back to talking about your pin problem again. And
it's only a problem for you.
No, I don't have a problem with it. I'm like, our thanks to Tim Benz for being on the show yesterday. Jeff Lowe. So Tim Benz talking from the Steelers camp. Zach Berman joined us from the Eagles camp. Jeff Lowe on the Olympics. Murray Chass on baseball. So, that's what we've been doing.
And you can actually hear any of those online at stevejonesshow.com, too.
Absolutely. So, jump in on that. Number's 1-800-795-9565. Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, always sponsors the Friday show. Of course, we're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 to 15, in Hummel's Wharf. The Pirates, by the way, go to St. Louis tonight with Jake Westbrook on the mound against James McDonald. And McDonald has not exactly lit it up since the All-Star break. Westbrook's won his last five starts. And they'll play St. Louis tonight. The Cardinals are a game back of the Pirates for the second wild card spot, as are the Giants. So that's how tight that is. Dodgers took 3 out of 4 from the Pirates. Yesterday was one of those moments where I thought of Marv Levy. When Matt Kemp was thrown out of the Pirate game for yelling at Andre Ethier, Don Mattingly got thrown out. It reminded me of the infamous Marv Levy quote from NFL Films. You
over-officious jerk. I went to college with that official.
Yeah, I went to college with that guy.
Iron Man!
You over-officious jerk. Bruce Parkhill one time. Penn State's playing St. Joe's. Basketball, alumni fieldhouse, the 3,200-seat bandbox, right? Penn State wins the game. In fact, they won the game, I want to say 8 to 12 points, but it was one of those days, or, you know, we said to yourself, pretty good game all the way around, never really felt threatened. How about that? And Tony Ward and Brian Allen to the backcourt. And Penn State's in front, 8, 9 points, whatever, and they run essentially the wrong play. They run the wrong play. And Bruce yells out, he says, will you guys get your head in the game? Got teed up.
I guess he had to be specific on where he was directing that.
Hey, look, he says, what am I teed up for? He says, you don't ever yell at us like that. He says, I wasn't yelling at you, I was yelling at them. Of course, there's like that red face moment.
Oops.
Oh, boy. You can't take it back, though. And that's a big issue. Can't take it back.
Well, I was like, Dave Ritchie has a great one. You know, he's the not only does work with me, but he's also the assistant coach for the Shikellamy girls basketball team. So girls are going, they have a girl named Katie Heim. So he's yelling, Katie Heim, Katie Heim. And Fisher comes over, he goes, you've got timeout. He said, what? I didn't call a timeout. He said, yes, you did. You kept yelling time. He said, I kept yelling Katie Heim. Well, too late. You got a full.
It's funny because I talked to the officials today. I brought in officials into this morning's practice. And it's usually the same guys. And they're great guys. And so, I mean, I'll take the time. I try to take advantage of it a little bit by asking them specifically, you know, what are the points of emphasis this year and things like that. That way I have a better feel for what they're, you know, so you try to take advantage of it. So they're there. Why not? And they're really good about it. They'll talk to me, say, hey, about this. And you're able to kid around with them. And so you do find out that, you know, there are a lot of guys with great personalities in this thing. And the replacement officials in the NFL are finding out that the coaches have some interesting personalities, too.
Yeah. Colorful. That's the word. Colorful personalities.
I'll tell you right now, they're not getting that solved anytime soon.
It doesn't sound like it because there was a story yesterday that the union, the officials were talking that they weren't real happy about what the NFL said recently.
Right. And that's big with the of course, we had on at one point Bill Carollo from the Big Ten, and he was a big reason why they settled the last time. So right now, NFL replacement referees making mistakes even with the simplest of rules. And here's where the problem comes into play. It's usually in the preseason. that officials throw more flags because they're trying to get the players into the mindset of this is what we're calling this year. Those points of emphasis. And that's one thing about bringing officials in. For example, officials were in today at a Penn State practice. Well, they were there today, and of course they're able to go through and they'll call a penalty and so forth, and they become teaching moments. I'll give you one quick one. Brandon Mosby Felder lined up, and it was a really nice play to Brian Urban. First down. But it was flagged because what happened was Urban was an ineligible receiver. Why? Brandon Mosby Felder, who can check with the head linesman, didn't as to whether he was on or off the line of scrimmage. Teaching moment. Brian in Sealands Grove, thanks for waiting. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Doing well, Brian. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Got an interesting question for you here. I just saw that the judges slated the trial for Curley and Schultz in January.
January 7th.
Now, okay. Now, let's say some things are cleared up here and the NCAA actually gets to see some factual evidence and actually gets to hear from people, that would be what I consider to be pretty important in the NCAA's ruling. Can anything be overturned, or is this, again, a no-appeal situation?
Well, you know, the odd thing about this, Brian, is that I sense, based on the rhetoric, is that it's a no-appeal situation. You sense in the rhetoric. If there is a sense of fairness in this, and let's take this on the premise that you outlined, which is they fill in the holes, correct?
Yeah.
Say, for example, the trial fills in the holes, and that they're not only found not guilty, they're found to be innocent. You would hope that somebody there, in a sense, in a show of fairness, would say, you know what? We're to sit down and talk about this. But in the current climate at this hour, Brian, it is the sense that they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's interesting that in the legal world, and this is not a legal situation, in the legal world, you can appeal a murder conviction.
Yeah.
You may not be successful.
Yeah. And there's due process with that as well.
And there's due process for that as well. I mean, appeals can get thrown out and so forth. But you would hope, in a sense of fairness, it would happen. Until that moment happens, though, I've settled in my own mind as to what the sanctions are and what the next few years will be like in terms of knowing there are 12 games, knowing there's no bowl game, knowing that Bill's going to have to operate with 65 scholarships, knowing that this is essentially a 6-year penalty instead of a 4-year penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the part that a lot of people don't realize. It's the odd thing about this is it's a 6-year penalty and a 5-year probation.
Yeah, yeah. What about as far as if things do come out, let me say here, and they find out, you know, even if they do find Curley and Schultz to be guilty of something here, and mm-hmm. they do find out maybe Paterno's playing this wasn't as what the free report, you know, their opinion or what they believe based upon their stuff. Is this something that partial things would be taken away? Like, you know, they took the wins away, and that was basically a jab at Joe. I mean, that was their way to get back at Joe Paterno. Now that he's deceased, the only thing you do is, you know, take away from his legacy. Is there any way there'll be partial reinstatement of some of the things that they've taken away?
There'll be. I know the Paterno family and two other groups have gone through the appeal process with the NCAA, and they had to do that part to then set up the lawsuit process. So that's where they are right now. Appeals have been made, appeals have been rejected, and now you start to go to the lawsuit phase of it. And in that phase of it, we'll see how it turns out. And I think for you, the fans, for me, the broadcaster and so forth, other people are going to fight this battle. You and I can talk about it, but essentially you and I can't fight this battle. They have the funds to do so. And they also have the ability to do so. Bill O'Brien can't fight it. Dave Joyner can't fight it. You and I can't fight it. What we can do is push forward, make things at the moment as great as they possibly can be, while they fight that on the outside.
Well, on a more exciting note, too, I heard this morning you were talking about Ryan Kaiser, and he's a local, yeah, you know, high school standout for us in 2009. Knee injury-wise, you said he seems to be back, you say 100%. If he is back 100%, what do you think his role is defensively for this team? Is he still just special teams, or could this be a guy that really plays out to be a big part of what success they have?
Well, he'll play because right now he'd be a second-team safety, and they like playing a lot of people. But right now Ryan would be a second-team safety, and he actually this week, now that he's back on the field, has had a really good week. In fact, I thought he had a particularly good day today. So I think he's put himself in a position where they're seriously going to consider playing him, and it's going to be more than just special teams. Will he start? No, not unless there are injuries in front of him that would cause it to happen. While I don't think he'll start, I do think that you'll see him get out there and have a lot of opportunities to play.
Awesome. That's exciting. All right, well, hey, thanks for taking my call, and good luck with Kevin and his pin collections.
Well, Ryan, I mean, let's face it. It's one of the parts of the show where you just know you have to put up with it.
And now you have to have dinner with him on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks again, Steve.
All right, thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, Ryan. Our number 1-800-795-9565, Lenape Solar Hotline.
I know we have a break coming up, Steve, but I wanted to interject this quick. I know you're hoping that the NCAA, if as Ryan had mentioned, all things come out differently, will change their mind on all this stuff. But I'll be honest with you. Call me a pessimist or what. I really don't see it. They took such a hard line and such a hard stance on this.
Well, that's
they
not
would
what
look,
I said.
Okay. Well, that's the impression I got, that you hope that they would be able to they
no,
would do
I said,
that.
I said idealistically you would
oh,
hope.
Oh, okay. All right. But they took,
idealistically you would hope. I said, but I said, I don't, you know, I'm with you. I don't
yeah,
see it happen.
They took such a hard line and such a hard stance on this. I just don't see how they could, even if they wanted to, without looking bad.
Right. Well, without looking bad, I don't know how bad you look if all of a sudden everybody said, well, see, that's what the part that confuses me. I think they look bad if they stuck to it and people are found to be innocent. That makes you look basic, but well, wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. All right, let's go to Baird in Sealands Grove. Hi, Baird. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a question about the NFL referee situation. I only got in the car just a few minutes ago as you were talking about it, so I don't know if you talked about this earlier. Where are the subs coming from, and who's training them?
The NFL is training them, and the subs are coming from various walks of life, for example. But they are not coming. They made the determination on day one that they would not come from Division I-A college football. Many of these are coming from Division II and Division III college football. But they are not coming from 1A.
And one did indeed come from the Lingerie Football League. At least at one point he was officiating there.
Okay. So based upon what you know, what do you feel? Let's assume that none of it transpires and that they have to use the subs the entire year. What do you feel? How far off do you feel the quality of the refereeing will fall?
50%.
Did you say 55-0?
I said 50%.
Wow. And just what ramifications do you think that will have on the entire NFL season?
I think Jacksonville's back in the race.
Oh,
boy.
All righty. I appreciate you taking my call. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Baird. We'll come back with more in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yes, NFL replacement referees. So far, there have been the usual missed spots, things like that. In the Giants game against Jacksonville, punt returner Jaron Hosley was called for holding. The only problem was he was the one that had the football.
Oops. Well, I guess that's better than...
Buffalo-Washington game, punt down to the 4-yard line, was ruled a touchback.
I guess if you got the wrong guy, at least he was on the field. It's better than, you know, getting the wrong number and he's not even on the field.
It's very difficult to hold when you have the ball. Very difficult. So that's what we've seen so far from our replacement refs.
That's how you open a hole, though. That's if you could do that, you could be one heck of a running back.
Now, to me, a running back should be called for face masking if they throw a stiff arm and they grab your face mask.
Absolutely. I don't even like a hand on the face mask. I think that a stiff arm like that should still be a penalty, too, because you're pushing the neck back.
Well, first of all, if a defensive player even touches your face mask, it's a penalty.
That's right.
Why isn't it the other way around? If an offensive player does it, it should be the other way around, yeah.
No question.
For consistency. But that's what they've done so far. There have been a few snafus along the way. And there have also been very few penalties. The Hall of Fame game only had 10.
Well, you mentioned that the other day, that you felt that that was more because of, what was it? I would use the word confidence, but you used a different word than that.
Well, they just out there, they're out there hanging on to what they're doing.
A lack of confidence in being able to make the call.
Right. And always, look, you, in order to announce, okay, in order to play, and in order to officiate, you have to believe what you see. If you hesitate because you're not quite sure what you see or what you saw, it fouls everything up. It fouls up the play on the field. It fouls up the broadcast. It fouls up a call. So whether you're broadcasting a game, playing the game, making coaching and making calls in games, or refereeing games, you have to believe what you're seeing. In other words, you have to be quick and you have to be confident because you believe what you see. And they, right now, don't believe what they see. A ball rolls dead at the four-yard line. This guy calls it a touchback. These guys are nervous as all get out. They know that the microscope is all over them right now. They know that. So,
by the way, before we wrap things up, real quick update from South Williamsport. Canada defeated Mexico 13-9 in a true Little League game. That's one you don't normally see at the World Series, but that's a Little League game. 13-9 in 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Guess what, though, in that game? You know what the key play of the game was?
The seven-run second inning by Mexico to get back in it?
A defensive play in the final out of the game.
Really?
Tommy Neal had a diving catch that saved an extra base hit. Vancouver beat Nuevo Laredo 13-9.
Wow.
His catch was a sinking line drive to left center with two outs. Runner on third, runner on first. Saved the game.
That ought to be your four-letter network highlight for the night.
Well, I hope it is. It'll be great. I think ESPN does a great job on the Little League World Series.
I agree, and they do a great job at remembering that they're 12 and 13 year olds, and the umpires are volunteers. I will say that too.
Right. I mean, they do not broadcast it like a professional game. They broadcast it as if it is the Little League World Series. They have great perspective as to how they do it. They handle it just right. I enjoy watching Little League World Series broadcasts.
Gary Thorne doing it today?
I don't know who's doing it. I've been working all day, so I don't know.
He usually does the Lomedy games. And speaking of the game at Lomedy, Southwest leads Mid-Atlantic 5-2. Mid-Atlantic from Parsippany, New Jersey may drop their opening game, and it's always tough to come back from that one.
All right. So there you go. It'll be a great weekend there. I think the weather's going to be pretty good. I know I'm in Williamsport Sunday, Monday for New York Penn League. I know that. But good news.
That's the final in the Sawbuck series, isn't it?
No. No, oh, they come in this weekend. They come in Labor Day weekend.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize they were
Labor Day weekend. They still have to come back to State College.
Gotcha.
It's the last trip of the year, though, up there. So there we go. Our thanks to our good friends at Brewers Outlet, the Beverage Supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Another big week coming up. Can't wait to see all of you on Tuesday.